Praise the Lord. Okay. Praise the Lord. Each year, the majority of people who call themselves Christian celebrate the coming of God's Messiah, what's called the season of Advent in the church. And that word Advent came from the Latin, Adventus, Christ coming. And Christ comes in each of us who have been born again. He comes within us day by day as we live our lives under the direction of the Holy Spirit. Many people forget the idea that we're celebrating the coming of Christ, not just that happened nearly 2,000 years ago. We're celebrating the coming of God's Messiah. He promised He was going to come. Now, as I said, most only look at the previous coming. They make a mention of His second coming. And from about 1100 AD, Christians looked at three comings. And I've mentioned them here already this morning. The first coming in Bethlehem. The second coming within us. And then the third coming of Christ. The third idea of the coming of Christ when He returns as the King. But the final coming's lost favor. Even though it's strongly encouraged in Scripture, we are to look for His coming. Jesus Himself said, "Look up. Your redemption draws near." He said, "Be watchful. Watch therefore. You don't know the hour when He's coming. You don't know the day when He's coming." For centuries, God's people expected His return and longed for it. In fact, when the early authors wrote, when Peter wrote, when Paul wrote, when Jesus Himself spoke, He spoke as if it was imminent. It was going to happen right away. He didn't speak like it was going to be far off. He said, "You be watchful. You watch, therefore, because you don't know when He's coming." And those people who longed for His return were simply obeying the Messiah. They were obeying His teaching and that of the apostles, and they had deep desire for liberty. They had deep desire for lasting freedom. Because while we are in this flesh, we are bound. We're bound to the flesh. We're bound to the world. We have yet to be liberated fully. We have yet to be freed completely. But when God's Messiah arrived, the most religious at His time, who had known the Scriptures that foretold His coming, they missed it. They overlooked it. They knew that He was coming. Before He came, it was written. The prophecies are there, and those prophecies have been fulfilled in His first coming. It's indisputable that those prophecies have been fulfilled. You know, we share in that ancient longing for the coming of the Messiah. And we're to daily remain alert for His second coming. That's what His Word shows us. The sad thing is that when He came the first time, most of them missed the mark. They didn't recognize Him. They didn't recognize Him. And the most knowledgeable denied that He was the Messiah of God. They denied it. They turned their back on Him and eventually crucified Him. That which we remember when we serve communion, when we partake around the table. We're moving through our Creator's timeline. It's not our timeline. We didn't set it up. We didn't arrange it. It's His. It's His timeline, and we must remember His timeline so that we don't mess it up like they did. We have to be watchful for those signs. We have to pay attention to what's happening in the world around us. Because He said these things were going to happen. We're going to look at a few passages of Scripture today. The most full is Matthew chapter 24, where Jesus Himself is heard giving the teaching about what the signs would be of His return. Before he left, he promised to return. He promised to come again. And we, like those who expected his first coming, we have to wait expectantly with hope of our redemption. They waited expectantly. And then eventually, as the time drew near, they lost sight of it. And many of them didn't realize that he was the one foretold. The Scriptures are full of information to help us not to repeat their mistake. And we're taught to remain watchful for His return, and so we look for the signs of His coming. But His return's been foretold for thousands of years. And many believers have gone to their graves without seeing the coming. And this has led to a general shift from remaining aware of His soon return because it's not been soon enough for so many. After all, He said He was coming. Where's He at? Why isn't He here already? And the Scripture tells us that they'll say that. He promised the people that He would come. Just as Almighty God Himself, our Creator, promised the Messiah. And He sent that Messiah in the form of a helpless baby, and somehow they missed it. We may be encouraged by the fact that our Creator always keeps His promises. And again, all of the prophecies that foretold the first coming have been fulfilled in that person that we call Jesus, the Christ. So today, as we remain firm in the hope of His return, we're going to look at the coming as it is foretold. My desire is that as we do, your expectation will grow. That your expectation will be excited, maybe to new levels. That maybe you'll realize it's important that we look forward to His return more so than look forward to the first coming. We look at the first coming as a historical event, and it was a true historical event, just as we are sitting here in this room today is true. It's an accurate rendition. What we have in the Scriptures show us this actually happened. History proves it out. There's no disputing that it's real, that it happened, that this one we call Jesus came. But they missed Him. And that's indisputable also. And we must be on guard so that we don't miss Him. So that we cannot hold ourselves in such high regard that we think somehow we won't. We can't think that somehow we're better than they were. They were knowledgeable in the Word. And many of us are today. But I want you to expect His coming and long for it. That's the goal of this message today, is to get you into a place where you're realizing, yes, okay, we celebrate that He came. And we look at that He came. That's a historical event. We can recognize that. But we also have to be on guard and pay attention for His return. Those who are enslaved by sin can accept God's Messiah and escape God's righteous punishment. God is a holy God. He is a righteous God. His wrath will come upon those who are not turned to Him. He says so in His Word. Yes, we're locked in these physical lives until we're liberated, and Christ promises to liberate us. But until He does, we are here, and part of our role is to expect His return. And another part, as we'll look at next week, is to announce it. To announce that He's coming. To tell people to get ready. Just as the prophets of old foretold, He's coming, get ready. And I pray that Almighty God would free your thinking from physical things to spiritual. That you would recognize the deeper spiritual matters every day forward. And that as you do, you might be able to help someone else draw into the kingdom of Almighty God. I want us to start by opening our Bibles to chapter 13 of Jeremiah. You'll find that chapter 33 of Jeremiah. We're going to begin with verse 14. Page 534 in the Pew Bibles is where you'll find that. Jeremiah 33, beginning at verse 14. Brief passage. Verses 14 through 16. And this is one of the messianic prophecies. One of the prophecies that foretell the first coming. Beginning at verse 14, here's what we hear there. "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will perform that good thing which I have promised unto the house of Israel and to the house of Judah. In those days and at that time will I cause the branch of righteousness to grow up unto David, and he shall execute judgment and righteousness in the land. In those days shall Judah be saved, and Jerusalem shall dwell safely. And this is the name wherewith she shall be called, the Lord our righteousness." Some reading from Jeremiah 33. Now we're going to open our Bibles to Luke chapter 21. Luke 21. And we're going to look at verse 25 through 36. Luke 21, beginning at verse 25. And this is what's written there. "And there shall be signs in the sun, and in the moon, and in the stars, and upon the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring." Have you seen any of the news reports of how the sea and the waves are roaring all over the world? "Men's hearts failing them for fear, and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up, lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh." Reading from the 21st chapter of Luke's Gospel record. Jeremiah and the other prophets foretold the first coming. They gave specific details about Messiah's coming. These were fulfilled in that coming of the one we call Jesus. Again, indisputable. And then God's Messiah gave specific details about His return, or what we call His second coming. Many of these have been fulfilled, and many are being fulfilled even now. We're seeing it in our world today. Not our world, excuse me, this is not our world. He instructed His followers to remain watchful because your redemption draweth nigh, it draws near. Your redemption is coming. And what does redemption mean? What is redemption? Redemption. That's a big long word, right? Redemption. What's it mean? I looked it up. Redemption, He speaks of there, is liberation obtained by payment of ransom. You see, Satan held us captive. We were captive in sin. And we've been ransomed by Christ. He paid the price. And we've been ransomed. We are being redeemed. And our redemption draws nigh. That means it's not here yet. Oh, we've been bought. We've been paid for. The Scripture makes that clear. But He says, your redemption draws nigh. It's coming yet. There's a redemption that's coming that has yet to come here on earth. And that's one of the things that we wait for. That final redemption. When we are brought out of this prison of the world. When we're freed. When we're liberated spiritually. You know, the Messiah, the one we call Jesus, He instructed His followers to remain watchful because your redemption draws near. His return is the final act in the timeline of humankind's liberation from this fallen world. Scholars have created systems of belief that differ from what He taught. The 24th chapter of Matthew's Gospel record, as I mentioned earlier, gives a complete, or the most complete list of signs preceding the coming. The Advent. The Messiah gave these to His followers. Why would He give them to them? This was thousands of years before these things were going to take place. And yet He speaks to them as if He's telling them to watch for these very things. One of those things was that the temple would be destroyed. The worship temple. That was the beginning of the end of the age. He gave them a list of signs of the end of the age. He said many would come in His name and deceive many. And you know, He repeated that at least four times, as did Paul and Peter warn about false teachers in Jude. Wars and rumors of wars would take place. He said, but don't be alarmed. Don't be troubled. All these things have to come to pass, but the end is not yet. You're going to see war and rumors of war. War. Yeah, we covered this in another message one time. How many wars are going on in 200 or so countries that exist, the so-called countries of the world? There's war in almost all of them. Some type of war. All of our lives have been plagued with war. We have never lived without war. None of us in this room, I can guarantee you, you can look back to your very birth and you'll see that there was war on the earth somewhere during your lifetime. He said these things are the beginning of sorrows. He said famines would be taking place. Fatal epidemic diseases. Earthquakes in different places. The earth is quaking, let me tell you. You know, there's a chunk of Africa that looks like it's going to fall off of Africa. It's going to separate off of Africa. There are splits across the globe. There are places where the earth is opening up and just splitting. It's like in Costa Rica. I saw a report about down in Costa Rica. There's a place where the earth is just opening up. It's splitting open. Earthquakes in different places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Now, it's easy for us to dismiss these things because they're not actually affecting us, right? I mean, it's not like the road out there is just split open and we can't get out of here, right? It's not like this building's falling down because the earth's shaking, right? It doesn't really bother us. It's not happening to us. It's the beginning of sorrows. He said they'll be afflicted. He told His disciples they would be afflicted and they would be killed and they'd be hated by all nations for His name's sake. And that's already happened and it continues to happen through this day. And in fact, in this land where we have enjoyed relative freedom as far as religion, it's starting to happen here. You know, California's got a thing going on. They're going to ban the Bible. Once it happens there, boys and girls, you can be sure it's going to travel across this land. Because after all, the Bible has what political correctness calls hate speech. Because the Bible says this is the way we live and this is the way we don't, and some people want to live the way the Bible says we don't, and so therefore they've got to get rid of the Bible because the Bible is the authority. But they don't want it to be the authority. In fact, many people deny the authority of the Bible right now. The list of signs that He gave continues. Many would be offended. They'll betray one another. They'll hate one another. Who are the haters? It's not someone that says you're in sin and you need to come out of it. It's those that are in sin who are saying, you can't stop me from sinning, and if you try, I'm going to stop you from stopping me. Paul spoke of this when he referred to Isaiah chapter 28 and verse 16. This was in his letter to the Romans. He said, as it's written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling block and a rock of offense. Whoever believes on Him will not be ashamed. The Messiah of God, the one that God promised and sent, the one that most of Christianity is going to be looking at in a few weeks, celebrating the birth of. You know, there's only two people in the Scripture that I could find to celebrate their own birth. I was telling Mike this on the phone yesterday. They were both wicked. Jesus never celebrated His birth. In fact, the day that we call His birthday isn't His birthday. I know that's not the fuzzy message you grew up with, but let's face it, it's the truth. He said many false prophets would arise and deceive many. Prophets? Who are the false prophets? The false teachers, the false prophets, those who profess falsely. Lord repeated this warning over and over. Beware of the false prophets. Beware of the false teachers. Beware, beware, beware. And yet here we are. Year's 2018. We're surrounded by false prophets. We're surrounded by false teachers. Those who teach a piece of the Scripture. But they don't teach that other part. That part doesn't feel good. He said, because iniquity, which when you look at the root word means lawlessness and wickedness, shall abound. It will be plentiful. Wickedness will be plentiful, and because of that, the love of many will grow cold. Where's the love? When you preach the whole gospel, people will run you out of town. You could ask John Wesley that. You could ask lots of people who've come in the past who preached the whole gospel. Not just the part that makes you feel good. And I know this isn't that feel good little baby in a manger story that you've grown up with. I know that. But I can't. I cannot, with a clear conscience, I may not, I'm not permitted, as I sit down and I look in the Word, I say, God, what do you want me to preach? And He says this, I cannot preach something less than what He says to preach. These are the signs of the second coming. If we are His people, we are instructed by Him to look forward to His return. And we must be aware of the signs that He says will precede His coming. Otherwise, we'll be like those who missed His first coming. We'll be caught up in traditions. We'll be caught up in teachings. We'll be caught up in all those things that take our attention off of Him and put them on something else. And what are we focusing our attention on? Materialism? It's Black Friday! Black Friday Monday! It's Black Friday week! It's Black Friday month! Let's skip Thanksgiving, that one that really is a godly tradition, a godly holiday. Let's jump over that one. We're going to go right into the materialistic one that we call Christmas. Let's face it, folks. We've been taken down a path of lies. The truth of Almighty God is we're to be looking for His return, not back at the baby. Oh yeah, we can look at the baby coming in the manger. We can look at that whole thing, okay? But it's not just a little, okay, we had a great little birth, and then we had the story in the middle, the plot and all that, and then we had the great ending, right? That's not what the Bible tells us to teach. It's not what the Bible tells us to preach. That's the truth of it. It scares me when I think of what's happening in the world today and what's happening in the world of Christianity today. In Matthew chapter 24, verse 13, we hear our Lord say, "Those who endure unto the end, the same shall be saved." So what's the implication there? If we don't endure to the end, we're not saved? That's what He says. I'm going to take Him at His word. That's the good news of the coming Messiah. We endure. We put up with a whole bunch of mess. We wrestle against not flesh and blood, but against those spiritual hosts of wickedness in high places. Endurance is to hold fast to one's faith in Christ under misfortunes and trials. Hold fast to your faith. Bravely and calmly endure ill treatments. And that's from the definition of the root word. He said, "This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations." And then, what happens? The end will come. And the next verse explains that all these things that preceded, he calls it tribulation. It's written in Matthew chapter 24, verses 29 to 31, "Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light." The world's going to go dark, folks. You see the little flash of that we got last couple weeks ago? A few days of darkness. "The sun will be darkened, the moon won't give her light, the stars shall fall from heaven." Now, just in case you're concerned that maybe you missed it, that hasn't happened yet. "The powers of the heavens shall be shaken, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and then shall they see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory." After the tribulation of those days, when the sun is darkened and the moon, well, it doesn't give her light, and the stars fall from heaven. And then they'll see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. This is Jesus teaching of His coming. This isn't some other man. This isn't some other teacher. This isn't some denomination. This is not some human authority saying this is how it's going to happen. This is the one we call Jesus, the Messiah of Almighty God. And then, he says, he shall send his angels with the great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. And I'm not going into a big deep thing here. I just want to get the points across to you, okay? This is Jesus teaching about his coming. And it's the coming that he said he told his people to look for. He didn't tell his people to look back at his birth. He never taught about that, ever. In fact, his birth isn't even disclosed very clearly in Scripture. But if you did look at it, you'd see it was probably in the spring, not in the winter. But just in case you're tempted to think this is a separate event from another second coming, hear what's written just a little further along. This is Jesus teaching. He says, therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation, it's spoken of by Daniel the prophet, standing in the holy place, whoever reads, let him understand. Let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let him who's on the housetop not go down and take anything out of his house. And him who's in the field not to go back and get his clothes. But woe to those who are pregnant, those who are nursing babies in those days. And pray that your flight may not be in winter or on the Sabbath. For then there will be great tribulation, such as has not been since the beginning of the world until this time. No, nor ever shall be. And unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. And if anyone says to you, look, here's the Christ, or there, don't believe it, for false Christs and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. And that says the elect will still be here. They're not going to be gone. They're going to be here, according to Jesus. And I'm not talking about according to Saint so-and-so or whomever else in the Christian body of literature that we find all over the world these days. I'm talking about Jesus himself. What does he say? Because that's what matters to me. He says, except for the sake of the elect, those days will be shortened. Because of the elect, those days will be shortened. See, I've told you beforehand. False Christs and false prophets will rise and show signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. If they say to you, look, he's in the desert, don't go out. Look, he's in the inner rooms, don't believe it. For as the lightning comes from the east and flashes to the west, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. Does that sound like a secret? Does that sound like it's hidden? Does that sound like he's going to sneak in and grab a bunch of people and run out of here? No. It doesn't. For wherever the carcass is, there the eagles will be gathered together. There's no secret to his return. He said the whole world's going to know when he comes back. The whole world is going to know when he returns. So if you just listen to the one who taught, the one that we claim to follow, if we listen to him and what he says, what do we hear? We hear the truth, right? Because he is the truth. He's the way, the life, and the truth. And that sets us free from human teaching that errs from his. Since the 1960s and 70s with these Left Behind books and movies and all that kind of stuff, all of Christianity has gone away from the teaching of Christ himself. Jesus taught his coming, how it would be. As Matthew continues, he relates the Messiah's foretelling of what happens next. What happens next? These things haven't taken place yet. So there's no need to get nervous that you might have missed it. You can still expect the coming foretold. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, he's repeating himself. Shall the sun be darkened, the moon not give her light, the stars will fall from heaven, the powers of the heavens will be shaken, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. Why would he repeat it? You think maybe he knew that people would get it messed up? See, when I hear this whole this what I call false teaching now, when I hear the false teachings of his coming, what I realize is they don't look at Matthew's gospel record. They don't use Matthew's gospel record. Oh, and if they do, it's just a piece, a snippet. Let's take a little picture out here. This is what he said. They don't look at the whole thing. See, we look at the whole thing in order, in the order in which it is preserved for us. It says something different from what they say. And then, after the tribulation of those days. And then shall appear the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn. And they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory after the tribulation of those days. That's what He said. That's what Jesus said. That's not what Tim LaHaye said. That's not what some of these other authors and movie makers have said. That's what Almighty God's Son, the Messiah, said. And then He gives this idea of the angels with the sound of a trumpet gathered together as elect from the four winds from one end of heaven to the other. The next illustration that He gave is that of a fig tree. He said, learn the parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender, he puts forth leaves, yet you know that summer is nigh. So likewise, you, when you see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors. I'd venture to say we're at the doors. It's coming. He's coming. He said He's coming. And what manner of people ought we to be, Peter says. If all these things are to be destroyed by fire, what manner of people ought we to be in holy conduct? Pretty clear. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but My words shall not pass away. That's what He said. Now, we might have twisted His words. We might have, as humans, changed what He said was going to happen. We might even believe what He said is not exactly the way it's laid out, because after all, John, the Revelator, he brought more details about the Second Coming. And how do we fit those into what Jesus brought? Only by the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Almighty God foretold the First Coming of the Messiah. The Second Coming was told by the Messiah Himself. He said, no one knows the day and the hour. No man. Not the angels in heaven, but My Father only. We can't say, like Harold Camping said back in 2011 and prior to that, oh, it's going to be on this day. And somebody asked him, well, what happens if it doesn't? Does that mean the Bible's wrong? And he, I don't know, he couldn't figure it out. He didn't think that far. Well, you know, no man knows the day or the hour, and if somebody says they do, I'm going to have to just disagree with them. But as in the days of Noah, were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage. Everything was just peachy. They were going through their day-to-day lives, just doing it like they always did. And for 120 years, there's Noah, bah, 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 putting together the boat. And they're laughing at him. Who is this nutcase? Saying the world's going to be destroyed. What is he, crazy? But it goes on to say, they did all this. They were living just as they always had until the day that Noah entered the ark. And they didn't know until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Do you see why I am concerned? I'm concerned for your souls, and whomever will hear this message, the soul of each one who receives this message, he says, you're not going to know. It's going to be day to day. You're going to be going through your day to day life. It's just going to be another day. And boom! The sky opens up and He is here. That's what He says. This is Jesus talking. He's referring to the flood that took people away, right? He said the flood came and took them away, right? Now, as we continue in this same lineage of thinking and teaching of our Messiah, He says, then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken. Who was taken in the flood? The ones who were lost. They were taken. And the other left. Two women would be grinding at the mill. The one will be taken and the other left. Now, did He suddenly switch the context? Because when He's talking about the flood, He's talking about people who were taken away in their sin. And now He's talking about people being taken away. Is He suddenly saying He's taking them away because they're not sinners? He doesn't give any indication of changing the context. The flood took people away from the earth. It didn't rescue them. And the context here is clear. The taken were the lost. And I know that the popular teaching today is that believers are whisked out of here. I've even heard people say, "Well, I just can't wait for the rapture." Well, you know what? There's going to be a stark surprise when a lot of people don't see what they expect. Just like there was at the time of Christ's first coming. They didn't see what they expected. They think they're going to be whisked out of great tribulation. Tell that to the Waldensians. Tell that to the Hussites. Tell that to all the people whose lives have been taken in the name of Christ since the time that He walked on this earth. Tell them there's not going to be any tribulation. Tell them they're going to get whisked out. They don't have to worry. Tell them there's not going to be any persecution. Jesus said there will be. They'll hate you. He said they hated me, they're going to hate you. That's the reality that we live in this world today, whether we believe it or not, whether we want to or not, whether we expect it or not. And I'm not saying it to knock y'all down at this time when you want to be boosted up, okay? I'm telling you because it's the truth. And you got to realize that as the coming draws nearer, this is only going to get worse. It's not going to get better. That's the truth of it. It's not popular. It's not a popular teaching today. Flood took people away from the earth. Jesus said, this great tribulation is going to be worse than any since the beginning of the world, nor ever shall be. So there's not a different tribulation. At the end, the tribulation is going to be greater than it ever has been, ever. People have died all through history because of their belief in Christ. It's going to get worse. And what does Jesus say? As we continue reading in Matthew chapter 24, I haven't jumped to a different text. I'm still in Matthew chapter 24. This is still Jesus teaching. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. Watch. Be watchful. Don't lose your attention on His coming. Pay attention. He's coming. But know this, that if the good men of the house had known in what hour the thief would come, he would have watched. Ah, so now we get a little clue why nobody knows. Because if you knew he's coming at 11 o'clock, why, you go on living as you want till 10:45. Right? I mean, let's face it, we're human, huh? He said, nobody knows. But if you had known, you'd been watchful. So he's saying, watch all the time. He's telling them nearly 2,000 years ago or whatever it's been. Watch. Watch, watch. He repeats this over and over and over. Be watchful. Watch for His coming. Watch for His coming. You don't know when He's coming. Pay attention. He's coming. Here's some signs. Look for these signs. This is going to tell you the time is drawing near. Pay attention. It's coming. He's coming. Expect it. And He warns again. Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as you think not the Son of Man cometh. You don't think He's coming when He's coming, okay? Who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his Lord has made ruler over his household to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily or truly I say to you that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. But and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants, in other words, duking it out with them, and to eat and drink with the drunken, the Lord of that servant will come on a day when he looks not for him, and in an hour when he's not aware of, and shall cut him asunder, and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. He's talking about servants being punished. He's talking about servants being punished. He's not talking about those people that are outside. His servants. And I say, expect the coming Messiah. Expect the coming. And as I wrap this up, I'm not going to offer any apology to you for giving you the words of Christ. I'm not ashamed of His message. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. The coming that everyone is about to celebrate is a great event in history. There's no doubt about that. It's true, just as we're all alive now. And it's important to study it in depth, not just like a sort of fairy tale, as a lot of people have become to studying it. It's a warning for all who believe. And so few preach that, because it doesn't feel good. They missed His coming! His people missed His coming! We must be on guard. We must be looking for His coming in order to be ready for it. Pay attention. The people of that time got caught up in traditions and human teachings that led them away. Led them away. Their attention wasn't focused on it. From the Messiah instead of leading them to Him. Think about that. That's the reality. That's what the Scripture shows us. It's written in the 14th chapter of John that Yeshua taught us, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many dwelling places." Some translations tell us mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And He said, "I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to Myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know." And of course, they questioned, "What do you mean? We don't know where you're going. We don't know how to get there." And He said, "I'm the way." He pointed to Himself. He's the way. Yes, there is going to be a taking up of God's people. But it's not in the way that's being depicted in popular literature and mainstream movies these days. That's not the way it's going to happen. Not according to Jesus. If you believe in Jesus, and you follow what He said. And this year, as we celebrate what's called the Advent, remember, it's important to know what Jesus taught about His coming. He is coming. And as we continue this series, we're going to look at the world today, some of it, and see how we line up with what He taught. We're going to look up and expect the coming. We're going to look at how we are to announce His coming. We're going to look at the joy that He brought into the world and how we can share that same joy. We're going to look at the hope that He gives us as we expect His coming. Now let's pray. Heavenly Father, I trust that I have kept the charge to preach Your Word. I don't know what it was like for Jesus to be in the garden praying to You, begging that if it be Your will that the cup would pass over. But I know sometimes, Lord, You give me hard messages, and as weak as I am, I haven't sweat blood, but it's tough. And I trust that my preaching and my speech were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of Your Spirit and of Your power, that our faith would not be in the wisdom of men, but in Your power, Father. I pray that You would lead us out of temptation to give in to those things that feel good all the time, that You would deliver us from evil, that we would speak the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth from Your Word. And I pray that You would do this for all that are in this room and all who hear this message. And it's in Christ's name that we pray, and all of God's people said. Now, if you will, open your hymnals to number 99. Rosalie wants to lead us with, or accompany us with, "Angels in the Realm of Glory," number 99, to "Angels from the Realms of Glory." And if you can stand, please stand as we sing number 99. If you'd like to help with this ministry, you can do so by sending your gifts to Pastor John, care of Post Office Box 67, Shakora, Pennsylvania, 16025. And may God richly bless you.